can handle the truth. My friends, and welcome back. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Glad that you're here. I almost had an accident here. Yes, okay. So welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org. Our phone number, 800-313-9443. Tammy, Tennessee, still with us?
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are.
I just have a couple more things,
yeah,
and then I'll
fine.
Get off and let somebody else call in. For Carol, we're all the underdogs. We all get overwhelmed, and we all need a time every now and then to wallow. You know, my wallow of choice is I just have a couple of drinks, and I cry, and I get it out of my system. And when I get it out of my system, then I feel better, and then that's when you start to be able to pick yourself back up and move forward again.
Well, I agree with that, except for the whole crying, drinking thing. But other than that, yes.
Well, you know, to each his own, you know.
Yes, but that's right. Well, you know, and that's the whole thing about it, is that we are absolutely allowed to, we're absolutely allowed and encouraged, you know. Look, if you take the fight for the truth and you equate it to a military campaign of some sort, nobody stays on the front lines forever. Okay. Eventually you go and you take a break. It's okay to do that. A lot of us do not afford ourselves that luxury because we view it as a luxury and we say, well, I can't. It's too important for me to do that. I do that too. You know, I'll say, oh, I can't take a day off. I can't take a day off. I need to do this and I need to do this. And even on the weekends, you know, I'm still working and whatnot. And luckily I've got a wife with a lot more common sense and intelligence than I have. And she'll say, hey, you know what? Enjoy yourself. Otherwise, what the hell are you doing this for? And it's true. We wouldn't be upset if there weren't things worth fighting for, if there weren't things worth preserving, if there weren't things that we like about life these days that we are trying to preserve and allow to get better. So as a result of that, we have to do that sometimes. We have to go and enjoy some things. We have to go and take a break. And we're allowed to fall down. We're allowed to stumble because hopefully one of our brothers and sisters, one of our fellow Americans, will be there to pick us back up.
And if you don't take a break, then, yeah, I could see it just totally devastating you,
yeah,
and messing up your entire life.
Yes.
But, like I said, everybody gets overwhelmed.
That's right.
For one reason or another on a fairly regular basis, because life is hard.
Yes.
And so sometimes you just have to withdraw from life and withdraw from all of it and go into your little cave like an animal would and lick your wounds. And then when you get yourself healed, then you pop back up.
Right.
Hopefully you pop back up with more energy and more passion and more fire in your belly than you had before you got knocked down.
Well said.
So, and that's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Once you know the truth, and once you know what they're doing to us as a human race, I am talking the entire globe. Once you know what they're planning for us, and once you see how evil they really are, you can never go back.
Yeah,
you can never go back and be a sheeple again.
That's true.
So if you get out there and you network with a few people and you drop a few seeds of thought, and as things start to get worse and worse, then you've planted a few seeds. Those people will start to get the fire because they'll start to see things and understand. So you don't even have to actually be out there in people's face, you know, trying to convince, arguing, you know. You just have to have some casual conversation, and then if the person doesn't want to hear it, then the best philosophy is next.
There you go. Well said.
But I'm gonna let you go and let you get some other callers in.
Hey, Tammy, I really appreciate it. Great insights, and, you know, a lot of good hope out there, folks. That's what we're doing. We got to keep the lines of communication open because we need to always be aware that we're not fighting this battle alone. Plain and simple. We're all there for each other. That's why we do the show. That's why we have the calls. Anyway, we'll do some news when we come back. Stay with us.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's
Glad you're here, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan. Glad you're here. This hour being brought to you by our good friends at Soleil Wellness, the makers of superior natural salt crystal products. You've heard all about the salt crystal lamps, I presume. Fantastic little devices. They filter your air. They are attractive, and they don't make any noise. Fantastic stuff. They also have skin and oral care products, natural foods, and more. You can check the website for more information. www.natural-salt-lamps.com. Very, very easy. You can also call them toll-free at 866-497-0274. All right, let's go to Butch in Missouri. Butch, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Frank. Really appreciate your show. I listen almost every night and almost all night long.
Wow. I really appreciate that, sir.
Yeah. And, hey, With all of the hot air being generated by the politicians, I learned suddenly that the police state is continuing to turn right on in the background and are knocking at our door. Now, I learned this when they knocked on my door, let's see, it was last Monday. My wife has been bedfast for 13 years. She's 78 years old. And she became ill, and I called an ambulance. So I left the door open and the screen unlocked, and I was working with her. And a guy hammered on the door, and I told him, come on in. Well, first I should tell you that I heard a siren come around the corner. And this was not an emergency ambulance call, right? Mm-hmm. All I had to do was to have a gurney to take her in there on. Mm-hmm. Okay, so anyway, the siren stopped at my house, and this guy showed up. And he came through the door, and he weighed about 300 pounds, and he was dressed in black from the boots to his collar. And he was wearing a pistol belt and a very large pistol. And he said, did you call a fire department? And I said, no. He said, well, did you call an ambulance? And I said, yes. And he says, well, now, when you call an ambulance, you get the fire department. Okay? And as he came in, while he was rapidly followed by two other guys in similar garb, and he went over to my left, the one guy went to my right, and one stood on point. And if you've had any military experience, why, you will recognize that as triangulation fire position. That is, if one of them, if I got one of them, well, the other two to get me. Essentially, the way that works. Well, anyway, this one guy obviously had an itchy trigger finger, and he was a sort of a shrimp of a guy, but he had his boots bloused. The other guys didn't. And after he calmed down a little and seen he wasn't going to get an excuse to shoot me, why, he assumed the position of parade rest. And the big guy began asking questions about my wife, her present condition and her immediate previous condition. And when he had got most of the information, why, he signaled the other guy and he stepped out onto the sidewalk in front of the house where I couldn't see him, I guess, and he used a cell phone to call the real ambulance. There was a siren started up about two houses up and came down to my place, and up came four guys with a gurney and a girl with a pad, and she proceeded to ask the same questions that other fellow had asked. And there were several. Pardon me.
Oh, I'm sorry. So who were these guys? Were they cops?
Well, I think they're a SWAT team, assassination squad of some kind.
Certainly sounds like it. That's bizarre.
They claim to be firemen, and on their backs of their shirts in large orange letters, it said fire department, but it didn't say which fire department. I figure that they are some kind of a multi-jurisdictional task force, and, you know, the next day they may have been rounding up people in Kansas City or Joplin or somewhere, because there was no city identification as to what, you know, no fireman's badge, nothing like that.
But, that's bizarre.
Yeah. And even more bizarre now, nobody asked for my wife's insurance papers, her Medicare card, her Medicaid card, ID. Now, this is all things that in the past, if you went into a doctor's office, they'd have you filling out reams of paper.
Yes.
And they'd always want my Social Security card because they wanted to know if we had any money.
Yes.
Okay. They didn't ask for any of that. And after I left, my neighbor came over, and I was thinking about that, and I said, you know, I've got to go over to that hospital and fill out reams of paper for an hour or two. And he said, oh, don't do that. He says, I'll just run over and get the things for you, and you can fill them out here where you got your papers for reference.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, that's a good idea. He said, just call over there and make sure they'll give them to me. So I called over, and I said, and I told a little girl on the phone what I wanted, and she says, oh, don't worry. We know all we want to know. I thought that was pretty ominous.
Yeah.
So, I think people should be alert as to what may happen if you call for an ambulance.
That's the strangest thing I've ever heard in my life. Now, I assume you just called 911, right?
Yes, my neighbor did. My neighbor, the wife of the fellow that came over, is a nurse. And I had asked her to come over and give me a hand getting Martha ready to go to the hospital. And I was fiddling around with the phone book. I was trying to find the hospital's number to get an ambulance. And she said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And she dialed 911.
I wonder if she said something. I mean, I assume it's your neighbor. You probably know her and trust her, but
I don't know. Maybe she did.
Yeah.
But what I'm being told is this is standard operating procedure, and this is what that guy told me. You know, he says, when you call an ambulance, now you get the fire department.
Well,
a little extra business.
Yeah, I knew that was the case, just from my interactions. I mean, you know, if you ever see an ambulance in front of a neighbor's house, there's always a fire truck there, too. And same thing with accidents, you know, car accidents.
I don't know what they were.
But I've never heard of the fire department being armed to the teeth.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. How's your wife?
Well, she's just out of ICU. She's doing well. Turned out that she had a stone in her urinary tract. And infections from that proceeding into the bladder. So she was pretty sick.
Mm. But she's getting better or is
better. Yeah, she's out of ICU, and I'll get to go over and see her tomorrow night.
Well, thank God for that. Gosh, I'm so sorry. What a terrible experience.
Well, there's more to the story if anybody wants to dig into it. I don't want to occupy your time here with a lengthy tirade, but
no, I don't mind. I'm very interested.
Well, on my blog site, there is an audio file, and my blog is Vetzine, V-E-T-Z-I-N-E. That's a contraction for Veterans Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's vetzine.blogspot.com. And you can go there and click a link and hear a rather, well, it's a one-hour account of it.
Okay.
But I just really wanted to throw that in so that, you know, to suggest that while we're busy watching all of the circus performance, why, there are other people busy sneaking up on us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And thank you, Frank.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Good luck with all that, and certainly be praying for you. And, you know, the show's available to you anytime. So.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Gosh, you know, you just hate to hear stuff like that. I think the politics thing is important. And at the same time, it's very bizarre. It's like, and I've used the analogy of sort of preparing for a marathon. Now, not many of us have actually prepared for a marathon. I certainly have not. But I have prepared for physical activity before. And let's say that the marathon analogy holds up. So you're thinking about it, and you're thinking about running the marathon, right? You're not thinking about the beginning of the marathon. You're thinking about the middle. You're thinking about the end, crossing the line. It's what drives you. And yet at the same time, while you're running it, you're thinking right now, I don't want to put my feet in some dog poo while I'm running. So you got to kind of have a broad focus. And it's important to pay attention to what's going on locally, too. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
I'm gonna find my baby. Woo! Oh, that sun goes down. I'm gonna find my baby. Woo! Oh, that sun goes down. I'm gonna find my baby. Woo! Oh, that sun goes down.
Welcome back, ladies. Gentlemen, glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, and I am your host, Frank Whalen. Like I was making the analogy before the break about, you know, running the marathon, it's important to keep a broad focus. It's also important to keep a narrow focus. You have to almost have a sort of functional attention deficit disorder in order to even get by in this world, to be able to pay attention to all of it. And I've said it before, I do think that when you've got a society that's geared toward this instant gratification, always, you know, look at your news delivered in 30-second sound bites, you know, on your mainstream cable news television shows and things like that. Commercials are quick, lots of cuts and graphics, even the news these days, right? Like, let's say you put on headline news. I remember when they first changed over, I'm like, oh, my God. What is going on here? You got a thing down at the bottom of the screen. You got a little thing over here telling you the time. You've got a thing over here with a little spinning flag. Fox News, same thing. A little graphics everywhere. It's like they don't want you to focus on any one thing. And I think that's intentional. And I do think that, you know, seriously, and I mean this with all sincerity and with all due respect to anybody that might suffer from it, but I firmly believe that attention deficit disorder is God's way of allowing us to deal with these things. I do, because I think I probably would qualify for ADD or ADHD, whatever it is, quite simply because I always, I don't know, maybe you've heard, you might listen and say, what's that sound? Maybe it's me like clicking a pen. And then I realize I'm doing it, and I set it down. Because I'm always doing something while I'm doing something. It's just how I operate. I don't know. Go figure. So, that having been said, we've talked a lot about having hope, and it's very, very important. Now, in the interest of certainly not aggravating Carol, because I think we all should be positive about these things, but here's the thing. You know, when you want to have hope, and when you want to have faith, and when you want to be empowered, the truth does all that. It's why we call it the truth movement, right? It's trying to be the truthful. And the truth can be depressing to people. I don't think it is. I think it's empowering. It's empowering to know these things. To me, it's exciting. I like the show. I like being here. I like chatting with you guys. So, as I mentioned, and I don't know if we're going to have time, shockingly enough, I don't know if an hour and a half is enough to get through these hundreds of stories that I've got here. Well, maybe not hundreds of stories, but certainly hundreds of pages. When we talked about the Republican candidate debates and whatnot, obviously it's a very, very lengthy list of candidates who are out there trying to make a name for themselves. Some of them are know-nothings. We'll never hear from them again. Some of them are people like Ron Paul who have the entire system working against them. Some of them are very well known to be insiders, okay, your Giulianis, your McCains, so on and so forth. Then there are people that you don't know much about, okay? Maybe you do. I don't know. Tommy Thompson, of course, former Secretary of Health and Human Services. He's a Mason. We have a list on our website, franklyspeakingradio.com, of a Masonic VIP list. You can find it there. And Tommy Thompson's name is on that. That's straight from the Masonic headquarters. They had inadvertently released that to a past guest who posted on their site, and we have it on ours with their permission. But, yeah, his name's on that. And who else? What, Mitt Romney? He's a Mormon, which is pretty much a Mason. But there's another guy I mentioned to you about, Sam Brownback. And if you don't know anything about old Sam, you're going to get quite an education here right now. This is from his Wikipedia listing. Just a little insight here as to what's going on. Brownback has announced he will not run for re-election in 2010 in accordance with his support of term limits for members of Congress. So he's done being a congressman, which means he has bigger ambitions. We'll see where he goes. Now, just for those who didn't know, Senator Brownback has the worst attendance of those in the Senate pursuing the presidency as of February 27, 2007. He has missed 22 votes, or 42.3% of those held as of that time. Now, as of May 10, 2007, Senator Brownback has missed 47 votes, or 29%, which is surpassed only by one guy, also Republican, Senator John McCain, 75 votes missed, or 46.3%. So the guys want to do they want to do the big job. They're not even there for it. Now, the reason I bring up Brownback is because there was a story written. We did it last year, and it's extraordinarily important that you understand how deep this whole thing goes. A lot of people think, you know, some people said, oh, the Jews are behind everything. And some people said, oh, the Catholics are behind everything. And some people would say, oh, you know, whomever, the Masons are behind everything. I've always felt that, you know, when you look at the Luciferian football team, if you will, you got a lot of different players from a lot of different places. So what's the single solitary unifying thing? Who's running the show? I still don't know. We can all make assessments and say, oh, this group or this council or this organization, blah, blah, blah. Anything's possible. But there's a component that's very, 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 very little known. We've talked about it on the show. So if some of you who have heard this and looked into this and are familiar with it, you know what I'm talking about. And maybe you know where I'm going to go with it. But this story came out in Rolling Stone magazine, which is what those hippie rock and roll young people read. Excellent, excellent reporting in Rolling Stone. Usually they have one really, really important, hard-hitting story every month. Some more important than others. This one probably not delved into as deeply as it needs to be, but for those who have ears to hear, you'll pick up on all the important things. I babbled us to the break. I know, it's happened before. All right. Stay with me. We come back, we'll dive into this story and start down this very, very long, shocking and yet vital road. More Frankly Speaking Radio in 3 minutes, folks. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, my friends. I am your host, Frank Whalen. As I mentioned, a story here about Sam Brownback. A lot of these things that are just sort of mentioned offhand in the article should jump out at you. If they don't, we need to have a talk. January 25th, 2006, RollingStone.com. I start down this long road. This article, by the way, incidentally printed out 20 pages in length. It says, nobody in this little church just off Times Square in Manhattan thinks of themselves as political. They are spiritual, actors and athletes and pretty young things who believe that every word of the Bible is the inerrant dictation of God. But on this evening in January, politics and all its worldly machinations have entered their church. Sitting in the darkness of the front row is Sam Brownback, the Republican senator from Kansas. And hunched over on the stage in a red leather chair is an old man named Harold Bredesen, who has come to anoint Brownback as the Christian right's next candidate for president. So, obviously, this story is, what, a year and 5 months old? So, some things have changed, obviously, now. You know, it's very possible that Brownback could, of course, achieve the Republican nomination. And that's why I'm reading you this story, because it is important to understand. Because, honestly, I'm kind of surprised he's gotten this far. I didn't really think it would be an issue, but I did bring it up because it's an important story. Now, Harold Bredesen, by the way, this individual that we'll learn more about, he's dead. Okay, he died on December 29th, 2006. It's not in the article, but I checked it out. He died. He fell down some stairs and died, I guess. So he was very, very old. But let's continue. It says, over the last six decades, Bredesen has prayed with so many presidents and prime ministers and kings that he can barely remember their names. He is the spiritual father of Pat Robertson, the man behind the preacher's vast media empire. He was one of three pastors who laid hands on Ronald Reagan in 1970 and heard the Pasadena prophecy, the moment when God told Ronald Reagan he would one day occupy the White House. And he recently dispatched one of his protégés to remind George W. Bush of the divine will and evangelical power behind his presidency. The guy was a heavy hitter, okay? Tonight, it says, Bredesen has come to breathe that power into Brownback's presidential campaign. After a little more than a decade in Washington, Brownback has managed to position himself at the very center of the Christian conservative uprising that is transforming American politics. Just 6 years ago, winning the evangelical vote required only a veneer of bland normalcy, nothing more than George Bush's vague assurance that Jesus was his favorite philosopher. Well, now Brownback sees something far more radical. Not faith-based politics, but faith in place of politics. In his dream America, the one that believes both the Bible and the Constitution promise, the state will simply wither away. In its place will be a country so suffused with God and the free market that the social fabric of the last 100 years, schools, social security, welfare, will all be privatized or simply done away with. There will be no abortions. Sex will be confined to heterosexual marriage. Men will lead families, mothers will tend children, and big business and the church will take care of all. Now, to some of you, that doesn't sound like too bad of an idea, right? Making the government smaller with less authority sounds like a good idea. Putting God back in society, it sounds like a good thing, right? In my opinion, no. And I've stated this many times. I would rather live in a country that says you're not allowed to believe in God or talk about God or any of that stuff, then have a country that will interpret the will of God for me. I know. It doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense, but I know this. Number one, you could tell me I can't believe in God, and I'm still going to believe in God. You could tell me I can't talk about God, pray to God, and all that stuff. I'm still going to do it. Okay? If you take In God We Trust off the coins, big deal. It doesn't shake my faith. However, if you start incorporating God into government, well, then you have the will of God being interpreted to you by government officials. That's where it gets scary because, again, I think politicians are idiots. But anyway, like I said, this is Brownback's vision. Bredesen tells the congregation, quote, he wants to be president. He is marvelously qualified to be president, end quote. But he adds, there is something Brownback wants even more. Says Bredesen, quote, and that is on the day of your earthly life to be able to say, Father, the work you gave me to do, I have accomplished, end quote. Bredesen, shrunken with age, leans forward and glares at Brownback and says, quote, is that true? Brownback says softly, yes. The old man's voice is suddenly a trumpet saying, quote, friends, Sam says yes, end quote. The crowd roars. Those occupying the front rows lay their hands on the contender. Brownback takes the stage. He begins to pace. In front of secular audiences, he is a politician, stiff and wonky. Here, he's a preacher, not sweaty but smooth, working a call and response with the back rows. He tells a story about a chaplain who challenged a group of senators to reconsider their conception of democracy. The chaplain had asked, how many constituents do you have? The senators answered, 4 million, 9 million, 12 million. The chaplain replied, may I suggest that you have only one constituent? Brownback pauses. That moment, he declares, changed his life. This, being senator running for president, waving the flag of a Christian nation, is about serving one constituent. He raises a hand and points above him. From the balcony, a hallelujah, an amen, a yelp. From Bredesen's great white head, now peering up from the front row, Brownback wins an appreciative nod. Bredesen thinks, quote, this boy may be the chosen one. Scary stuff. Back in 1994, it says, when Brownback came to Congress as a freshman, he was so contemptuous of federal authority, he refused at first to sign the Contract with America, Newt Gingrich's right-wing manifesto, not because it was too radical, but because it was too tame. Republicans shouldn't just reform big government, Brownback insisted, they should eliminate it. He immediately proposed abolishing the Departments of Education, the Department of Energy, and the Department of Commerce. His proposals failed, but they quickly made him one of the right's rising stars. 2 years later, running to the right of Bob Dole's chosen successor, he was elected to the Senate. Says Brownback, quote unquote, I am a seeker. When he ran for the House, he was a Methodist. By the time he ran for the Senate, he was an evangelical. Now, he's a Catholic. He was baptized not in a church, but in a chapel tucked away between lobbyists' office on K Street, run by Opus Dei, the secretive lay order founded by a Catholic priest who advocated, quote unquote, holy coercion and considered Spanish dictator Francisco Franco an ideal of worldly power. Brownback also studies the Torah with an Orthodox rabbi from Brooklyn. Lately, Brownback said he's been reading the Quran, but he doesn't like what he's finding, saying, quote, there's some difficult material in it with regards to the Christian and the Jew, end quote. Methodist, evangelical, Catholic, endorsed by Opus Dei. Now, if you don't know anything about Opus Dei, we'll get to that. But pay attention to that. Brownback, it says, is not part of the GOP leadership, and he doesn't want to be. He once told a group of businessmen he wants to be the next Jesse Helms. Senator No, who operated as a one-man demolition unit against godlessness independent of his party. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, a man with presidential ambitions of his own, gave Brownback a plum position on the Judiciary Committee, perhaps hoping that Brownback would provide a counterbalance to Arlen Specter, a moderate Republican who threatened to make trouble for Bush's appointees. Instead, taking a page from Helms, Brownback turned the position to a platform for a high-profile war against gay marriage, porn, and abortion. Casting Bush and the Republican leadership as soft and muddled, he regularly turned sleepy hearings into platforms for his vision of America, inviting a parade of angry witnesses to denounce the homosexual agenda, bestiality, and murder. Now, again, to a lot of you, this guy sounds like a dream candidate, doesn't he? Oh, he hates gay people. That's great. Yeah, that's great. He, meaning Brownback, is running for president because murder is always on his mind, the abortion of what he considers fetal citizens. He speaks often and admiringly of John Brown, the abolitionist who massacred five pro-slavery settlers just north of the farm where Brownback grew up. Brown wanted to free the slaves. Brownback wants to free fetuses. He loves each and every one of them. In January, during the confirmation of Samuel Alito for a seat on the Supreme Court, Brownback compared Roe v. Wade to the now-disgraced rulings that once upheld segregation. Alito was in the Senate hearing room that day largely because of Brownback's efforts. Last October, after Bush named his personal lawyer Harriet Myers to the Supreme Court, Brownback politely but thoroughly demolished her nomination on the grounds that she had insufficiently opposed abortion. The day Myers withdrew her name, Senator John McCain surprised the mob of reporters clamoring around Brownback outside the Senate chambers by grabbing his colleague's shoulders and saying, "Here's the man who did it," with a big smile on his face. Brownback is unlikely to receive the Republican presidential nomination, but as the candidate of the Christian right, he may well be in a position to determine who does and what they include in their platform. So very interesting. Brownback, it says here in the story, unlikely to receive the Republican presidential nomination. And I concurred with that when I read it. And I concur with that now, but the fact that he's even a candidate means it's obviously more likely here at this point. Remember, he could also be a VP candidate. So with the Christian right and all of the people that back Sam Brownback, it's very important to pay attention to who actually is behind the whole thing. Okay? Now it says Brownback is unlikely. I already said that. All right. What Sam could do very effectively, says the Reverend Bob Schneck, an evangelical activist, is hold the nomination hostage until the Christian right, quote, exacts the last pledge out of the more popular candidate, end quote. Meaning, of course, getting them to stick to their agenda. Okay? Excuse me. The nation's leading evangelicals have already lined up behind Brownback, a feat in and of itself. A decade ago, evangelical support for a Catholic would have been unthinkable. Many evangelicals view the Pope as the Antichrist and the Roman Catholic Church as the Whore of Babylon. But Brownback is the beneficiary of a strategy known as co-belligerency, a united front between conservative Catholics and evangelicals in the culture war. Pat Robertson has tapped the, quote, outstanding senator from Kansas, end quote, as his man for president. And James Dobson, the movement's strongest chieftain, can find no fault in Brownback, saying, quote, he has fulfilled every expectation, end quote. Even Jesse Helms, now in retirement in North Carolina, recognizes a kindred spirit, saying, quote, the most effective senators are those who are truest to themselves. Senator Brownback is becoming known as that sort of individual, end quote. Very interesting. As he gathers the forces of the Christian right around him, however, Brownback has broken with the movement's tradition of fire and brimstone. His fundamentalism is almost tender. He is no less intolerant than the angry pulpit pounders, but he never sounds like a hater. His style is both gentler and colder, a mixture of Mr. Rogers and monkish detachment. Brownback believes America is entering a period of religious revival on the scale of the Great Awakening that preceded the nation's creation, an epidemic of mass conversions, signs, wonders, and book burnings. But this time, he says, the upheaval will give way to a cultural springtime, a theocratic order that is pleasant and balmy. It is a vision shared by the megachurches that sprawl across the suburban landscape, the 24/7 spiritual entertainment complexes, where millions of Americans embrace a feel-good fundamentalism. When Brownback travels, he tries to avoid spending time alone in his hotel room, where indecent television programming might tempt him. In Washington, though, he goes to bed early. He doesn't like to eat out. Indeed, it sometimes seems he doesn't like to eat at all. His staff worries that the only thing he has for lunch is a communion wafer and a drop of wine at the noontime mass he tries to attend daily. Like most kids, Sam just wanted to be a farmer, but that life is gone now, destroyed by what the old farmers who sit around the town single gas station sum up in one word, Reaganism. They mean the voodoo economics by which the government favored corporate interests over family farms, a, quote, what's good for big business is good for America, end quote, philosophy that Brownback himself now champions. So he wanted to be a farmer, but all the farmers are out of business because of corporate interests being put ahead of constituents and their individual businesses, and Brownback is now one of the converted, if you will. He likes big business. Anyway, it goes on. Sex, in all its various forms, is at the center of Brownback's agenda. America, he believes, has divorced sexuality from what is sacred. He said, quote, it's not that we think too much about sex, it's that we don't think enough of it. He dreams of something better, a culture of faith-based eroticism in which premarital passion plays out not in flesh, but in prayer. After Janet Jackson's nipple made its surprise appearance at the 2004 Super Bowl, Brownback introduced the Broadcast Decency Enforcement Act, raising the fines for such on-air abominations to $325,000. So Brownback loves some censorship. On Sundays, Brownback rises at dawn so he can catch a Catholic Mass before meeting his wife Mary and the kids at the Topeka Bible Church. With the exception of one brown-skinned man, the congregation is entirely white. The stage looks like a rec room in a suburban basement, wall-to-wall carpeting, wood paneling, a few haphazard ferns, and a couple of electric guitars lying around. This morning, the church welcomes a guest preacher from the Promise Keepers, a men's group, by performing a skit about golf and fatherhood. From his preferred seat in the balcony, Brownback chuckles when he's supposed to, sings every song, nods seriously when the preacher warns against Judaizers who would poison the New Testament. Whenever the senator met with Prime Minister Ariel Sharon in Israel to talk policy, he insisted they first study scriptures together. The two men would study their Bibles with music playing softly in the background. One of the little-known strengths of the Christian right lies in its adoption of the cell. This is where it gets interesting. The building block historically used by small but determined groups to impose their will on the majority. 70 years ago, an evangelist named Abraham Vareed, I don't know if I'm saying that, Abraham Vareed, founded a network of God-led cells comprising senators and generals, corporate executives, and preachers. Vareed believed that the cells, God's chosen, appointed to power, could construct a kingdom of God on earth with Washington as its capital. They would do so, quote, behind the scenes, end quote, lest they be accused of pride or a hunger for power, end quote, beyond the din of vox populi, end quote, which is to say outside the bounds of democracy. Do you understand that? Think of it like a terror cell. Groups of small, groups of powerful, influential people who are told what to do, and they seek to do it. Now, a terror cell is, you know, coordinated by a terrorist mastermind. A God cell, a prayer cell, would be organized by whom? Well, obviously somebody is in power. Somebody's running the show here. But they would say it's God telling them what to do. But they're trying to do so. They're trying to change the government, in their own words, basically. They're trying to change Washington to become a place of a kingdom of God on earth with Washington as its capital. They're doing so behind the scenes. Now, why are they doing it behind the scenes? Well, they say because they don't want to be accused of being prideful. And they're also trying to do it outside the bounds of democracy, because then they would have to say, well, you know, majority doesn't know what's good for it here in America, but we do. It's very, very, very icky feeling, isn't it? To insiders, the cells are known as the Family or the Fellowship. To most outsiders, they're not known at all. Declares a confidential fellowship document titled Thoughts on a Core Group. It says, quote, communists use cells as their basic structure. The mafia operates like this. And the basic unit of the Marine Corps is a four-man squad. Hitler, Lenin, and many others understood the power of a small group of people, end quote. Really? So, they're talking about a core group of people, the fellowship, or the family. And who do they invoke to mention about how powerful these small groups of determined individuals are? Communists, Hitler, Lenin, the mafia, the Marines. Very interesting group, isn't it? And these people are working right now, probably, behind the scenes to make America what they want it to be, rather than maybe what you want it to be. Stay with us. We're back in 3 minutes.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you, from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
back. Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. We're at the end of hour number three already. I'm not even halfway done with this story, but it's very, very important that we spend some time on it. So if we need to, we will do a part two of our expose on all this stuff Monday, provided we do a show Monday. But anyway, it goes on. It says, under Ronald Reagan, fellowship cells quietly arrange meetings between administration officials and leaders of Salvadoran death squads and helped funnel military support to Siad Barre, the brutal dictator of Somalia who belonged to a prayer cell of American senators and generals. So we talk about the backdoor meetings and whatnot. Look at this. I mean, communists, mafia, Hitler, Lenin, the Marines, Reagan, of course, had Salvadoran death squads being able to have military support sent down to Somalia for genocide and different things like that. I mean, this is the prayer. This is the prayer group. This is the God cell. These are the people shaping America behind the scenes in ways that you have no knowledge of. And why would you? You're not a member. Neither am I. It says, Brownback got involved in the fellowship in 1979 as a summer intern for Bob Dole when he lived in a residence the group had organized in a sorority house at the University of Maryland. 4 years later, fresh out of law school and looking for a political role model, Brownback sought out Frank Carlson, a former Republican senator from Kansas. It was Carlson who, at a 1955 meeting of the fellowship, had declared the group's mission to be a worldwide spiritual offensive, quote-unquote, a vision of manly Christianity dedicated to the expansion of American power as a means of spreading the gospel. Brownback liked that idea. Over the years, Brownback became increasingly active in the fellowship, but he wasn't invited to join a cell until 1994 when he went to Washington. He said, quote, I'd been working with them for a number of years, so when I went into Congress, I knew I wanted to get back into that. Washington power is very difficult to handle. I knew I needed people to keep me accountable in that system, end quote. Brownback was placed in a weekly prayer cell by, quote, the shadow Billy Graham, a gentleman by the name of Doug Coe, Vareed's successor as the head of the fellowship. The group was all male and all Republican. Brownback says it was a, quote-unquote, safe relationship. Conversation tended toward the personal. Brownback and the other men revealed the most intimate details of their desires, their failings, and their ambitions. They talked about lust, anger, and infidelities, the more shameful the better, since the goal was to break one's own will. Sounds a lot like Skull and Bones, doesn't it? The abolition of self, to become nothing but a vessel so that one could be used by God. They were striving ultimately for what Coe calls, quote, Jesus plus nothing, end quote, a government led by Christ's will alone. In the future envisioned by Coe, everything, sex and taxes, war and the price of oil, will be decided upon not according to democracy or the church or even scripture. The Bible itself is for the masses. In the fellowship, Christ reveals a higher set of commands to the anointed few. It is a good old boys club blessed by God. Brownback even lived with other cell members in a million-dollar red brick former convent at 133 C Street that was subsidized and operated by the fellowship. Monthly rent is $600 per man, enough of a deal by the Hill standards that are even some said it bordered on an ethical violation, but no charges were ever brought. So again, Jesus plus nothing. They don't want democracy involved. They don't want the church involved. They don't want scripture, just the Bible itself. But obviously, if you're going to have law based on the scriptures, which is what they're pushing for here, which scriptures, first of all, and who's going to interpret that? These are very, very sticky points. Like I said, on the surface, it might sound like a good thing, right? This idea of God being integrated into society. But again, somebody's going to have to be in charge, and I surely pray it's not these people. Stay with us, folks. We're back in about 90 seconds.
A message.